It is 93.7 WEEI. Let the Gojira drop. Oh, what a great band. Rich, Ken, and Christian Arcan here for the rest of the show. What's up, Christian?
Hey, how we doing?
Doing fantastic. You came in and the first thing you said is, I'm still shell-shocked.
I am. I cannot believe the Bucks did this. I just can't get over it. I really can't. I'm mad at Brad Stevens for not getting the job done, but I also feel like the Celtics offer was so much better than Miami's offer that I can't stay mad at Brad Stevens for making the better offer, you know? Like, that's, I just can't believe the Bucks okayed this.
You're not a Jaime Jaquez Jr. fan?
Or? I mean, he's an all right player, sure, but what they're doing is basically putting everything off until those draft picks hit. These players they got are not good players. Mm-hmm. It's all about those draft picks. They start in, what, 2033? So you're trying to
31.
Sell your 31. All right, so that's 5 years. If two of them hit by, like, 35, that's a 10-year rebuild you're talking about, as opposed to Jaylen Brown, who just took Derek White and Peyton Pritchard to the 2 seed. Like, I cannot believe that that's the way they went. I'm shocked.
Well, Christian, I was saying earlier that, first of all, if you're a Bucks fan, how pissed are you right now? You don't have Giannis and you don't have Jaylen, and
yeah,
you basically have a bag of hammers. But
Tyler Hero.
You're right, Tyler Hero. Hometown boy. But the one thing that I do find interesting in all this, and it's the most interesting angle in all of this, is that from the New York Times article, they do say that Jaylen Brown sent some sort of signal in the last, like, couple of weeks that he would be a player under duress if he ended up going to the Milwaukee Bucks. In other words, he told somebody that if I'm there, I'm not signing an extension, and I certainly will not be all in the way you want me to be, and that scared Jimmy Haslam away. So as far as I don't know whether if they would have thrown in Hugo Gonzalez or Baylor Shireman, whether that would have even made a difference. It sounds like they were very scared of Jay, which, by the way, scares me as a Celtics fan, that he can control the narrative and also control, you know, what teams he goes to and potentially get you less in a trade back if you're Brad Stevens.
Yeah, and if they wanted to just completely move, if they really wanted the draft picks, then I guess the logic of we can get more draft picks for Giannis than for Jaylen does track. Like, that does make sense. But the draft picks in that far into the future, as opposed to even if Jaylen Brown's under duress, he's under contract through 2029, you know? So, like, yeah, be under duress, you know? Like, that's what the Celtics may end up having to do, is deal with this player under duress who doesn't want to sign an extension. But I just can't imagine a scenario where that's not as good of a plan as maybe the Heat being bad in 2031. Like, that's crazy to me.
Well, somebody who knows so much about the game of basketball and all the workings all around and behind the scenes, we love having him on. Jeff Goodman from Field of 68. Jeff, what's happening, man? Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys? How are you?
shell-shocked if you're my friend Christian over here. When you heard this news about the Giannis trade and obviously them not going with Jaylen Brown, what did you think when you first heard this news?
That Brad stuck to his guns, which I knew he would. Like, Brad is not, he's not somebody that's going to, you know, you're going to get him emotional, that you're going to get him where he's playing defense. Like, it's just not him. Like, he's got a method to everything he does. He thinks it through. He's looking at plan A, plan B, plan C. And in this case, it was, hey, listen, I'm not going to overpay. Yes, Giannis is better than Jaylen Brown. We all know that. But, like, I'm not going to give up too much and hurt this franchise. And obviously he likes Gonzalez. And, you know, we saw snippets of that last year. And I've seen Baylor Shireman for years since he's back at South Dakota State in the NCAA tournament. And I think he can be a really good rotation guy. You know, we forget, too, that, like, those guys, you want to keep them in your organization because generally they're going to get better every year. They're going to get used to Missoula. They're going to get used to playing with Tatum next year, which obviously Gonzalez didn't, and Baylor Shireman's played with him for a year. So, like, those guys aren't going to be frontline players ever, but if they can be good enough to be your, you know, Pritchard's your six, if you got, you know, those guys are good enough to be 7, 8, and 9, okay, we got to find something, though, here better than Sam Hauser and Nemes Keita.
But Jeff, there's a lot of people, a lot of Celtics fans, who were shocked when they found out that Brad wouldn't put Hugo Gonzalez in there and Baylor Shireman. And and it just goes to show, as you were saying, how much Brad Stevens values those two guys. But we don't know. Like, what do you think Hugo Gonzalez, like, what is his ceiling? Like, what does Brad see that he can become?
I have no idea. honestly, I haven't talked to Brad about him. I've seen a little bit. I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to be a starter. I think, you know, Brad's whole thing is, hey, these are potential either good pieces on the team or trade bait down the road. And I don't want to give them up for nothing.
Yeah.
I don't want to give them up for nothing. Now, for me, Giannis isn't nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they were just trying to get as much as they could, which is smart. You know, if you're John Horst in Milwaukee, you need to be able to do that. I also think this is a better move for the Bucks to go to Miami and try a real rebuild. Because, like, if you're getting Jalen, you're in the same spot next year that you were in this past year and the year before in Milwaukee, right? You're middle. And there's no worse place to be than middle. And now you're not going to get free agents. You weren't anyway in Milwaukee. But you're certainly not, I don't think, with Jalen there. You have a better shot with attracting one to play with Giannis than Jalen. So for Milwaukee, I think this was also something that if you were John Horst, the GM there, you were thinking, like, this is probably the best scenario for us. Even though we're not getting a big-time player, we're getting enough good pieces, and we've got some draft assets now.
Jeff, do you lean more to the side of the Celtics have decided they need a shakeup, like their team's not good enough, or Yes. Do you think it was just Giannis? Oh, so you think that another move's coming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think 100% Brad knows this team isn't good enough to beat, you know, two teams in the West and one in the East right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, I think he feels like they can go toe-to-toe with, but you know, again, now after winning a title a few years ago, you're not playing just to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. You're trying to maximize what you have. And if you have two of the top – and I think the other part is, again, Brad is a savvy businessman in some senses, and you always want to deal, you know, at a position of power, and Jalen Brown's draft stock will never be higher. Not draft stock. His trade value will never be higher than it is today.
So Jeff, you've covered Brad Stevens for a long time, and you kind of know how he works. In a situation like this, let's say he gets a call from Jalen Brown, or maybe Brad is proactive and called him before all this went down. What is that conversation like when your name is so publicly thrown around in trade rumors and then it doesn't go through?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. Brad's really good with people. He's non-confrontational. That's the one thing I'd say, but he's fairly direct. He's just not, you know, he's pretty emotionless in a lot of ways, right? So I think there probably was a conversation, you know, a week or two ago, because there was nothing in public that Brad said that, frankly, was, you know, before, over the years, he would come out and basically say, we love Jalen, this, that, and the other. We don't want to trade him. This time there was none of that. So I think there was certainly some conversations from what I've been told between the two. You know, but I think if you're Jalen, and I'm sure he's not thinking this way, but if you're Jalen, in a way, you should be flattered. The fact that you're in conversations with, you know, a top five player in the NBA and Giannis.
Jeff, with the anti-tanking stuff that's going to be enacted next year, I just can't believe Milwaukee did this. What you just said made sense in the sense of they're not really close in terms of future assets, but you're talking about, you know, pick swaps and unprotected. The Heat, first of all, have to be bad for that to even work, and there's no guarantee of that. And the Bucks could have had a legitimate building block in Jalen Brown. I can't understand how they can sell that to their fans, because it's Jalen Brown or a 10-year rebuild, and they go for the 10-year rebuild. That just seems crazy to me.
And the other thing, and people don't know this, but I've you know, I still cover a lot of the AAU events. I went out to one last week with like the top players in the 2027 class, right? So this class, this freshman class this year in college isn't very good. It's not very good. There's one guy, kid Tyron Stokes, going to Kansas, and after that, there's not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Next year's maybe the worst class I've seen in 25 years.
Oh,
whoa,
man.
25 years into it. Wow. So what I'm trying to tell you is, this year's draft, tonight's draft, is the one. And then for the next 2 years, nobody's going to want to tank, because it's not, unless the international group, and a lot of the top international guys have come over and will play in college. So that's the benefit, I guess. But from a U.S. standpoint, from a homegrown standpoint, these next two classes are not worth tanking for.
Jeff, tonight, like where does the – drop-off happen? Like, what number does it go from being an excellent player to an okay player?
There's a drop after the first three. The first three, I think, you know, are different, right? Devonta, Peterson, and Boozer. And then Caleb Wilson is really good at four. But I think it goes 1 to 3, then a drop-off from, like, 4 to 10, then another drop-off from, like, 11 to 15, mm-hmm. and then it's just okay at the back end. The second half of the first round is just okay. It's not nearly as powerful. And even the guards from 5 to 9, there's going to be probably 5 guards go off the board from 5 to 9. They're really good, but they all have their weaknesses. Like, people talked about, like, this draft, like it's the greatest draft in the history of drafts. It's very good. It's very good. But again, where it's different than it's been over the last couple of years is, you know, you've got 3 guys that teams think have a chance to be frontline NBA All-Stars. And then you got a bunch of other guards that, again, have a chance. Most people think all those guys, you know, Mikael Brown Jr., Keaton Wagler, Darius Acuff, Kingston Flemings, Braden Burris, all 5 of them have a chance to be an All-Star. So, like, the average amount of All-Stars among the top 10 picks in the last 25 years is like 2.5. I could see there being 4, maybe even 5, and there haven't been 5 NBA All-Stars in any draft since 2000 among the top 10 picks. I could see that happening out of this draft.
Wow.
Jeff, you tweeted about an hour ago that you know the Celtics have been fans of Trey Murphy for years. Can you sell us on that? Get us excited about a possible Trey Murphy trade.
I don't know what else it would involve, but, man, Trey Murphy, he's a guy that, again, came into the league – a little bit unheralded. He was a mid-first-round pick out of Virginia. He started his career at Rice as kind of a 3-and-D type guy, but can do a lot more than that now. And, you know, he's been with the Pelicans, so nobody's really paid attention to what he did. But he's a versatile, you know, 6'8 wing who can score. I mean, he averaged more than 20 a game last year. He was efficient. He could shoot the 3. He can pass it, you know, high IQ dude. Like, again, I'm not saying he's a top 10 player, but, like, I think if he's on the board and you can get him. Now, again, the problem with the Celtics is, like, what do they have? If you're not trading Jaylen Brown, what do you really have? What do you have that you're going to trade? I mean, Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah.
That's probably the thing because of his contract. That probably has the most value, but, like, and it'd probably be a 3-team trade because, you know, the Pelicans, what else are you getting from them? They're not trading Derek Queen, who they just drafted last year, Jeremiah Fears. Those are guys they're going to probably try to build around. And Zion, I wouldn't even want Zion at this point.
Well, they got to figure out something because, I mean, you heard Windhorst said it best yesterday. He was saying that, you know, the Celtics took a look at this team and were like, we can't beat the Knicks. Like, we're just, let's get real. Right. We got to make some major changes. We can't beat the Knicks.
Yeah, and I think Brad knew that. If you listen to Brad in the final press conference of the year, it was clear as day. He was saying to everybody, which is really rare. Like, I watched that back and I was like, man, I've never heard Brad so honest. Now, he's always honest, but he's gonna be careful of what he says to the media. And he was clear as day of like, hey, I know we're not good enough, and we got to make some real changes here. And that's not, you know, Baylor Shireman changes or Sam Hauser changes. That's going to be something bigger. And, you know, I heard Windhorst too, and everybody seems to think Jalen's going to be out the door today or soon. I would say this. I agree. I think the odds are probably in favor of Jaylen Brown not being in Boston long term, but I also know Brad well enough to know he's not going to do a deal unless he thinks he's getting the better of that. He's not going to just get rid of Jaylen tonight because the draft is tonight and he feels like he's got to do it, or else he's got to deal with Jaylen coming back, you know, into the facility soon. I think he would be fine with, hey, listen, I'll bring him back, and I'm going to wait and I'll wait till the trade deadline if I have to, but I'm going to make sure I get full value for Jaylen Brown.
And he's going to draw a line, and that line is Baylor Shireman, we have learned. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on with us, man, and tonight's going to be a good night to – I don't know. Will Jaylen Brown still be on the Celtics by the end of the evening? No, none of us know. It's a bidding war apparently going on behind the scenes as we speak. But, Jeff, Field of 68, you can read him. It's at Jeff Goodman Hoops, correct? Is that right?
Goodman Hoops.
Yep. At Goodman Hoops. Yep. You can check him out and follow him on the socials. Jeff, thanks for coming out with us. We really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, appreciate it. By the way, there's some people who are really pissed off at Brad Stevens. We will get to that. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Certainly, Ken Laird, Christian Arcand. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Also, you can go to the Odyssey app and follow the show and launch a take grenade. Just press that microphone and... We play your messages later on, by the way. There's a bunch of people on the text saying that Brad Stevens should be fired today because he blew up the trade. Why aren't you giving up Baylor Shireman is what people are saying. I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with Baylor Shireman. According to reports now, they could have thrown Baylor Shireman in there. They could have thrown in Hugo Gonzalez. Don't pronounce the H, apparently. Because according to the New York Times, it sounds like Jaylen Brown put out some sort of signal to somebody that got to Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Bucks, that he would be a player under duress. That if he ended up going to the Bucks, he would not sign an extension. He would not want to be there. And that scared him away. And he goes, I'm not doing a deal with the Celtics. I'm going to take it. Even though I think we all agree the Celtics deal was a better deal. And it's definitely something, as you were saying, Christian, you could sell to your fans.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
Jaylen Brown under duress or Tyler Hero? I mean, like, come on. Like, it's not even, I don't understand how that's even a question.
And they're going to trade Hero. You could do the same with Jaylen for picks. So,
you would think so, but that just scared him away. And according to everything I've read, and even, I think, Windhorst, intimated that there was something that scared him away from Jaylen Brown as well. So, I honestly don't think, as much as people giving Brad Stevens crap for not offering. It is weird how just much they love Baylor Shireman and Hugo Gonzalez. Watch this in 2 years. All of a sudden, he's going to be like unbelievable. He's going to like bloom.
Let's hope
so. Yeah, I mean, they bet he better.
I hate to keep going back to this, but what probably scared all those teams was that stupid live stream and all that. Oh, this was my favorite year
true.
Crap. I mean, I know I did pick on this a lot, but if it scared the Celtics enough to want to trade him, it probably scared these other teams too. It's the internet. Everybody could see it. It was like national news.
You know, I'd be right.
But that means you're trading him and getting back 60 cents on the dollar now for this bidding war. So that's not great either.
No, that sucks. Let's go to Tim online. Two, Tim, what's up, buddy?
Gentlemen, hear me out on this one. Remember I said he wouldn't get traded 80%. And Rich, you were like laughing at me going, oh, a percentage now. But here's the deal. Brad Stevens is the smartest guy at the GM's position in the whole NBA. Let me tell you, he wasn't going to sell the farm. He had to use leverage with Brown, obviously, and do the deal. But what we are, we have a ticking time bomb. We got a great set of players on our team. We need the big. We don't need no more wing guys like that.
Oh, Tim, holy.
My favorite thing about our callers is that they feel so comfortable with us that they just have no filter. It really is my favorite thing, to be honest.
Yes, sir.
And I should not be, and I'm not encouraging it, but it does make me feel, it kind of warms the heart, to be quite honest. Let's go to Bobby in Roxbury. Bobby, what's up, bud? How you doing?
Hi. I would just like to say that Cameron Boozer is an affront to basketball. And I know for a fact, okay, that the Boston Celtics, they're going to want to trade up for him. You know, missing out on the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade. And, you know, Brad Stevens is a big money guy.
Okay, stop for 1 second, Bobby. I just got to ask you, is that accent real?
What is that accent?
It is 100. No, it's not real. Sorry.
Okay. Good try, then.
What was he going for?
I don't know what I was going for.
I don't know.
It was between three accents.
Oh, no. I mean, I was just immediately like, this sounds like a, this to me sounds like when I was 12 and I would prank call places.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Nigel. Is your refrigerator running? I was never that lame.
Now, by the way, Kalshi, next Jaylen
it was like
Brown
a serious
team.
Call, though. You know, it wasn't like a joke call.
He had a take on Cameron Boozer.
Hey, man, I told you it could go either way.
The number three pick in the draft, allegedly. That was a very random
was very
topic.
Weird.
Jackson is elite at vetting callers. I mean, nobody gets past you.
He gave us a warning.
He told us. He goes, well, I don't know what this is, but you can go either way.
And I told Tim not to bring up his his last take because nobody gives a crap.
By the way, I do love when people say, you know, last time when I was on here, we know what? I like that too. You know, come back. I like regular callers. I'm a fan of that. A lot of shows like shoo away people who call religiously. I don't. Listen, well, if you're good, you're good. I'll put you on.
You and Steve in Fall River had it out.
So. No, we did not have it out. We just, matter of fact, I gave him more time on the air. I let him yell at his friend or whoever that guy was, the boy in the truck.
Jaylen Brown's next team, 44% stays with Boston and then split everywhere. 11% Portland, 8% Houston, 9% New Orleans, 7% Atlanta, 5% Clippers, et cetera, et cetera. Very diverse market right now.
Yeah. It
but under 50% for the Celtics.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. We're in a strange place. Did you see Kelce yesterday before the trade happened?
No.
Boston was like 60%. That's like that Giannis was coming to Boston.
Doesn't Giannis own like a piece of Kelce?
Yes, he does.
Not Kelce, the other one.
No, he does. He's Kelce.
Well, that seems a
Polymarket?
Little.
Market?
No, he's Kelce.
He's Kelce?
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem like shenanigans?
Interesting.
Like, how could you?
I saw someone else tweeting about this. That I forget who it was. June Lee, maybe, I think.
It's all very.
But yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, you didn't know, Rich? Crime is legal now.
I think we've seen that.
This guy, right. Sorsby, like, bet on, you know, 1,800 games. He's going to be drafted by the NFL.
Of course. 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls next.
Because it's important to say this, and I hope he's watching. One of the things we're not going to do, bro, is we're not going to let you sit around and act like you a victim. We ain't gonna do that. We ain't letting Jaylen Brown get away with that. You know, I heard what he said, you know, people doubting him and, you know, that's just creating the monster, whatever, whatever. Who did that this year? You were all world. You were MVP candidate.
It's tough to have any sympathy for a guy that, if he signs a contract extension, will be for $70 million a year. That is Stephen A. Smith, of course, in his never-ending feud with Jaylen Brown, and
Would you? Oh, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, that's all right. Rich Ken and Krishan Arcanon here in studio. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Yes.
I'm just going to ask you, do you fear Jaylen going somewhere else and being a stud? Like, would you trade him in the East? You have no problem sending him to Detroit, sending him to Atlanta, sending him...
He's going to be so great wherever he goes. Like, if it's a place that he wants to play... He is going to go there, and as Celtics fans, you're going to sit there and go, holy F, this guy went next level. Because he's legitimately a great player. We know that. We know how good he is. And I think he's underrated in this town because people's judgment of his game gets clouded by the dumb stuff he does off the court. He's a great player. But he's also going to be a bitter, angry, vengeful
Twitcher.
Player. Right. When he gets out there, especially if he's in the East, that dude is going to, there's going to be several times once he gets traded where you're going to sit back and you go like, I can't effing believe we got rid of that guy. But you also have to understand there's a little bit of redundancy here. And it just seems to me like they want somebody who's a big man. And I don't think you should trade Jaylen Brown for anybody who doesn't fill that role. Yeah, I don't want picks. I don't want another wing. I want somebody who is a Giannis type. I want Sabonis. I want somebody like that. Because if not, it's not worth it. And as I said, Brad Stevens is a smart guy. He knew that this could have blown up, and he knew that there's a chance that he might not get Giannis, and he is a good GM, one of the best in the league, if not the best. And I think that he has already got a method to keep Jaylen Brown happy and to say to him, hey, you know what? I just threw your name out there because I was never going to trade you. That was to jack up the price on Miami.
Come on.
So they would give up everything.
Jaylen Brown's not an idiot, Rich. He's not going to buy that. Come on.
He's not an idiot, but he's also somebody whose name has been mentioned like multiple times.
And how's he reacting to it? He hates it. I think Brad got played here.
He's won a championship after three of those, after the Kevin Durant one, after the Kawhi Leonard one.
And he cries every offseason about all the sacrifices he has to make. He does that every year.
But what happens when the regular season starts?
He plays, yeah, he's good.
He balls. Yeah. Like, he actually gets out there and plays his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do
think this feels a little different.
Toothpaste out of the tube right now.
But toothpaste out of the thing that holds the toothpaste, without a question. All right, let's go to Stanley on line two. Stanley, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. I just want to say a couple of things. The reason why we were in this predicament, if you got Giannis, it would have exposed him as a bad coach because his methods wouldn't even work with Giannis.
Good point.
Come on. Be honest with me. You guys will agree with me that 2024 finals landed right on our laps and we took advantage. That's what we're supposed to do. But if this was Ime, if he didn't mess up, we probably would have either went back-to-back or we would have won two titles in the span of the last 7 years. And that's why a lot of people on social media will say this tandem is underperformed. But the main thing I'm trying to say here is that we didn't capitalize during the trade deadline knowing that Tatum was coming back. And this was another easy chance to go to the finals because the way the bracket was set up. And the last thing I have to say, Milwaukee was going to go with the Miami deal because of one reason only. They fumbled the Dame trade because Pat Riley thought he could Teflon Don the Milwaukee, the Portland Trailblazers, because Dame wanted to come to Miami. And then the Portland Trailblazers said, F you, I'm going to trade him somewhere else and get more assets.
Well, Stanley, I agree with a lot of your call except for the last part. The reason that Giannis is in Miami is, according to the New York Times, Jalen somehow put out a signal that he was not going to be I'm going to quote it, a player under duress. He would not sign an extension. He would not want to be there.
You're letting Brad off the hook with that, though. You're saying there's nothing Brad could have offered that Milwaukee would have taken.
No, that has nothing to do with Brad. It has to do with Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Bucks. Would you make a deal if you knew that this star player that you were getting was going to be BS about being in Milwaukee?
If I wanted that other stuff. If I wanted Hugo and if I wanted Shireman and if I could flip Jalen Brown to somebody else for more picks, then yes, there has to be some deal he would have taken here.
But I'm not pissed at Brad Stevens about not giving up, especially when you knew it wasn't going to happen. And I'm telling you, like, he's got a backup plan. It is interesting because there's now a bunch of reports coming out. Do you have that CBS one by any chance, Tiz? I don't remember the name of this reporter, but he's from CBS, and he's been talking about Jalen Brown and what this all means for him right now. Mike O'Donnell, is that what you said? Okay. Here's what he had to say about Jalen Brown.
You're in a position now, okay, well, I don't think Brad Stevens says, okay, I'm all in on this. If I don't get this, we'll just figure it out. I'm going to assume that there's a backup plan. Mm-hmm. However, that backup plan, whatever it is going to include Jalen Brown in some capacity. I think they tried to keep moving on from Jalen Brown quiet two seasons ago. Not this past season, yes. But the season before. I think they tried to keep that quiet because of just history, and then they like Jalen Brown. They didn't keep it quiet this time. You know, it was very obvious in how that was actually accumulating over time.
All right, so he seems to think that he's getting traded. And matter of fact, there's been people who have said that within the next 24 hours, he would get traded.
There's nothing he could trade for now that makes you a winner this year, is there? I mean, I can't envision any trade, no matter how good Brad is.
Unless there's one that we don't know about yet.
Sabonis is not, he's not a top 30 player right now. I mean, that does not, he does not make you better than the Knicks or the Spurs or OKC.
He fills a need, but also you would be able to, hopefully, you're right. It doesn't.
Edwards, maybe, in Minnesota? Anthony Edwards?
How crazy is that he's being mentioned in trade?
So, I mean, like, that's just a change of scenery type of thing.
Give me Anthony Edwards.
I don't think it's going to happen, but, I mean, that's something,
right? You're going to go from the most boring locker room in the entire NBA to the effing greatest. Anthony Edwards is,
I like that. Okay.
It would be, Anthony Edwards, because he's going to call out, like, Missoula for being a nerd and stuff. Like, because he won't suffer fools. I would love that. Now, that's like
Still have no big man, but fine. I'll take Anthony Edwards.
They don't have a big man, but Anthony Edwards is that good. Like, to me, okay, sure, that would be great. But
outside of that, you're in a rebuild. You are slingshotting it. You're getting
unless you keep JB. Unless you keep Jalen Brown. Let's go to Wayne on line one. What's up, Wayne?
Whoa. Wayne,
your phone sucks. Wayne. All right.
Roll up the window.
Yeah, that's
call back.
Good. Man, it was in a wind tunnel. My goodness. 617-779-7937.
Did Goodman's breakdown of Trey Murphy get you the tingles?
Nope. I'm not excited about really anybody right now.
3-and-D, versatile 6'8 wing, shoots the three, high IQ.
Have you ever seen a single Trey Murphy highlight in your
life?
I
saw one only because I searched for it. I was like,
really?
Trey Murphy highlights.
I hear all these, I'm Trey Murphy. I'm like, okay, trying to picture him, can't even picture his face.
But if you got, okay, let's say he's, as Goodman describes, mm-hmm. he's really good, right? He's underrated. And you get him and DeJounte Murray or something like that. And then you trade.
DeJounte Murray is expensive and injury prone, but I do like him when he's healthy.
You need a point guard. So then you trade White and you get a big man. You know, you do multi-level.
You're worse. I'm sorry, you're worse. I'm definitely worse.
I think you're right. I mean, I that's why the honest thing
I think
is
Brad got
such
played
a
rich. I don't think this is, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to say that definitively until whatever happens with Brown happens. But right now, it looks like Brad got played pretty bad by Pat Riley.
I think with Brad, his whole thing was, all right, Giannis is worth giving up JB, but there's not a lot of players out there that are better than just smoothing it out with Jalen Brown.
Yeah, but if you're...
And I think he was just like, so why offer more? Because... Because
you've crossed the Rubicon with Jalen Brown and you're bringing him back. It's a whole
nice
thing now.
I don't nice think Rubicon you reference. Have. That is a good Rubicon reference.
Thank you.
That's a very good Journey song. Underrated on the Frontiers album. But I have to say, it's like, things have been smoothed over with JB time after time after time after time. This one does seem like it's the biggest, but it doesn't seem like this is something you can't get out of.
I hope you're right.
Emotions are hot right now, but once the season starts, we have several months until they're actually out there, or like 2 months, right, until they actually start practice. So there you go.
And it's a bad year for Brad. The Vucevic trade was horrible. Mm. Like, it was supposed to be a bad year for Brad Stevens.
Is it, though? Because he put together a team that just, I mean, they had, you know, Jason Tatum wasn't there, and it wasn't all Jalen Brown. Jalen Brown was a huge part of it, but the other guys rose up.
Well, did they? I mean... He started the bench for Game 7. They didn't rise up. They what were they, down 10-0?
I'm not talking about the playoffs, but let's go to Wayne on line one. What's up, Wayne? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I just want to say I'm a big Tatum fan. I watched him in Duke and everything. Love him. However, I think Brown is the man, and in the last 2 minutes of the game, I want him to have the ball. You know, I've watched Tatum donk it off the rim too many times. He can drive, sure, but Brown is the man, and he's about stands to make $70 million in a year. Come on. They think so, too. All right, I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, the one thing I'll say is that if I had to give the ball to one of them at the last minute of the game, I would want to give it to the one that doesn't dribble it off its foot and goes out of bounds. And that would not be Jason. I would want Jason Tatum to have that ball. And I love Jalen Brown. I think, as I said, I've said it a bunch of times, Jalen Brown is underrated in this town. There's just too much of a bias on who he is off the court and all the Twitch stuff. He is an unbelievable player, and if he gets traded, he is going to mother F you. He's going to be the best Jalen Brown you've ever seen. He's going to be reborn. He's going to be one of these guys that is going to put, just like he did this year, he's going to put a team on his back, and they are going to do something, maybe not make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're going to be a much better team with Jalen Brown on.
Why isn't it the Bucks then? Jesus!
Because he did not want to go to the Bucks.
You know what's weird about the analytics? I've heard this a couple times in the last 24 hours. That Jalen Brown was like a negative player, plus minus wise. Game 7, he was a minus 16. They were better with him off the court than when he was on the court. And Windhorst brought that up as why Brad is now turning on Jalen. He's decided... He's not a winning analytical player. It almost sounds Breslowian. You know, like you get some of the nerd coming out there. But I love Jalen Brown's game. He seems like a very effective player, but it is weird that he is not an analytic darling.
It is strange. All right, 617-779-7937. We got these calls coming in. We will take them. Also, we have Chad Tracy. He will be on with us. Unfortunately, I always hate having the manager on the day after an all-time bad. Like, I mean, that ninth inning was just the absolute worst.
So bad, but their offense, again, is... I just want to ask him. Maybe he has an answer. Why are you last in runs? What do you think does he have what's his answer for that? What would he... Who will he blame?
Need to get Lorenzo down there. Our batting coach, the guy for Caleb Durbin.
Like, he won't blame the hitting coaches, but maybe he's got something that he's seeing that he'll...
You know what he's going to say? You know what? If I knew the answer to that question, then we'd be hitting better. I guarantee that's what he's going to say. As a matter of fact, write that down. That will be his answer. All right, 617-779-7937. Did you find Rubicon?
Yeah.
All right. Take your move across the Rubicon. Steve Perry, you know what? You said it the other day. Best voice in rock. It could be. No one sounds like him. All right. It is Rich, Ken, and Christian Arcan. They're with us right now. 93.7 WEEI. You can call us at 617-779-7937. We're going to take your JB and your Giannis calls here in a second. But I do want to just quickly mention this. Christian saw this, and I thought it was a joke. I thought it was fake at first. But the Dubliner, which is the huge bar that you've been seeing on TV throughout the last several weeks that all of the Scottish fans have all gathered in front of. By the way, if you've never eaten at the Dubliner, like food, you're missing out.
Excellent.
And it's tough to say that about an Irish bar because even the Irish will say their food sucks. That place rules. The Dubliner's great. But they put up something on their social media. Once again, all the Scottish people have been hanging out there. But today is the England match. The English are in town. Mm-hmm. And the Dubliner put this sign up. It says, "We've decided to give our staff the day off and are closing today. They've worked incredibly hard over the last 2 weeks and deserve it. Thankfully, there's nothing happening in Boston today, so we'll be back tomorrow. Hashtag no Scotland, no party.
Suck it, England!"
It's kind of, do you know the amount of money that they're losing doing that as just a middle finger to the English? I mean,
worth it.
The English are all around, and that's obviously not far away from, like, you know, the area where they all congregate. Like, it's right there. And the English would have taken that place over. So I have to say, much respect to the Dubliner. You put your money on the line, and you said, yeah, you know what, we can give it up for one day.
Although you know what probably... it's not far from either? Is the American Revolution.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. It's very American.
Absolutely. And they probably made their nut, though, in the last 2 weeks for, like, the entire year, don't you think?
Well, Ted was spitting out numbers yesterday that there's $1 billion for the local economy that have been already garnered. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Dude, this has been great. It's been great. And like, everyone downtown has been behaving themselves for the most part, and they're cleaning up. It's truly shocking, to be quite honest.
$1 billion?
$1 billion. Let's go to Gino online, too. Gino, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Gino time.
Hey, what is going on, fellas? Hey. Of course, love the show. But listen, man, this JB stuff is really driving me crazy. You guys might as well get him out of here and adopt the Scots, okay? You guys are giving the Scots more love than JB. I have a quick question, okay?
Sure. Good.
What's more important? Averaging over 30 points, you know, this season, putting the team on your back, or having a couple bad tweets and making social media a little bit upset with you?
Championships.
I really want to know.
How about losing in the first round?
Yeah, I would say, and you know what, Gino, I agree with you to the point where I think he's underrated and people trash JB more than they should because of his off-the-court stuff. But I also think that this team, as constituted with the two Jays, I don't believe, and the Celtics, according to reports, believe the same thing, that they cannot beat the competition that's out there right now. They can't beat the Knicks.
I wouldn't put that all on JB. You got to give Brad Stevens some heat, too, because the team he put together, he brought in that dude, what, Vujicic?
Bad move.
Vujicic?
Horrible. Yeah,
he didn't even
move.
Do anything. That was I went to Gillette to watch the game, almost threw up that last game we played. The guy didn't even play. So I can't just put it all on JB. I love JT, too, but if I had to get rid of one of them to get a big man and a point guard, JT's got to go because JB's got a little bit more dog in him. But, hey, I love you guys. You guys get the best show in town. Let's keep it going, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate Gino. And by the way, Gino is not a lone voice out there. There's a lot of people who would like Jaylen Brown better than Jason Tatum.
But what does that mean, dog in you? Like, do people remember the end of Game 7? Jaylen Brown missed like 5 shots in the last 5 minutes of the game. Yeah. He got outplayed by Tyrese Maxey. It was, this is your moment to take over the game. It's a 1-point game. He missed shot after shot after shot. He's a good player. He did not have a great finish to this year.
He's also, unfortunately, blown his chance to be a leader. Because during the regular season, you saw what he did, and he seemed to pull up his teammates, you know, the guys who are not meant to be stars. He made them better. And so you think, okay, that could be a leader. But then what he did after the season by saying that it was his favorite year and Jason Tatum wasn't playing the entire time, dude, you blew it. Like, that was your chance to show the world that you were a leader.
This was my favorite season of my career.
Right, and he doubled, tripled, and quadrupled down. So I can see how that can rub some people the wrong way. As I said,
do you think his teammates are pissed by that? That one I don't know, because in some cases,
Tatum could be pissed.
But you notice Tatum hasn't said a word about anything?
Because he's smart. Because Tatum has good, like, agents. He has good representation. Because they understand, but this is boring for us. I'd rather have him talk. But he knows that if I want my endorsements, if I want to be somebody who, you know, people will not be reading into what they say and won't be criticizing him for stuff that's off the court, then you keep your mouth shut. And that's what he did.
But I don't know what Pritchard thinks about Jaylen and his, you know, the stuff he said. I mean, those guys probably do love him.
I think he loves him.
I think Jaylen probably does have some support on the team.
Sure. I do believe so. Yes.
Stephen A. Smith, yesterday speaking, what do we think Jason Tatum thinks of all this? This was Stephen A. yesterday.
And you haven't even had an opportunity to pass gas. And you're saying that was your favorite season? Oh, that still sticks at the craw of Boston Celtics fans. They don't like something like that. Boston Celtics know it. But most importantly, Jason Tatum knows it.
What was that? He couldn't pass gas?
Always.
He's just obsessed with
Stephen A. Stephen A, Stephen B, Stephen C.
He's just obsessed with rear ends.
I'm a bottom feeder.
Yes, you are. You are a bottom feeder.
It's gotten so personal. Stephen A cannot, like, contain it. Every take now with Jaylen is just, it's your fault. You know, you blew it.
This has become the Skip Bayless LeBron thing because he knows that it gets tweets, it gets people talking about him. Jaylen Brown, whether he knows it or not, is making Stephen A's summer. He's got an athlete who's literally like challenging him to debates at MIT. Like he wants to drag this story out and keep his name in the press. That's the other thing is like Jaylen Brown doesn't understand that he's doing more harm than good.
Yeah.
If he really truly wants to hurt Stephen A, ignore him. Then it goes away. But
doesn't seem like anyone's telling him, like, hey, man, like, you know, this isn't good for you. Like, stop doing this.
I know.
Just not happening. And also, Jason Tatum, we all agree, was off limits, right? They weren't going to trade Tatum no matter what.
No, no.
So if Tatum went to them and said, you're not trading Jaylen either, that's my guy and I want to play with him, then would we even be in the middle of this? Like, would this have even come up? You know, like, he if he has that kind of power, if he's untouchable and he means that much to the organization, then why couldn't he step in and say, don't trade Jaylen Brown, it's my guy.
It is a good point. How much does Tatum have in like the process of building a team now around him? Do you think he's in on some of these other
big
conversations they're taking now? Like,
oh, man, I don't see him as being that kind of guy. I see him being someone who completely gives in to Brad Stevens and what Brad Stevens wants. There are players in the NBA. I mean, God knows LeBron used to do it.
Sure.
Just saying, like, I need this guy and I need this guy.
Right, who do you want to play with?
You go get him.
Yeah.
I just don't see Tatum as being that kind of guy. Do
not
you?
Not that assertive, I guess. Yeah, I sort of see what you mean. Like, it's not like he's constantly in everybody's face all the time. He's not like a big vocal leader, you know, like, but I do think that they would at least go to him before something like this,
or
right?
Listen, if he was very opinionated and said, I want to play with Trey Murphy, we're going to be awesome. You know,
I
whatever.
Need Trey Murphy. Damn it.
Whatever. Somebody.
The Trey Murphy thing is like really weird.
It is weird. I mean,
Trey Murphy, I'm out of here.
That's plan B. I mean, that's what else is plan B? What's plan B?
Okay, here's what pisses me off is that plan B might end up being Brad Stevens getting 50 cents on the dollar for Jaylen Brown.
Right.
And that's
Trey
because
Murphy.
And that's because getting Trey and ending up with Trey Murphy.
Seriously.
Instead of Jaylen Brown, because that should scare you the most as a Celtics fan.
Right.
That Jaylen Brown, according to sources, was Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Bucks, was scared that Jaylen Brown was going to be a player under duress. I want to make sure I quote it the right way. As someone who would not sign an extension and someone who would not want to be there and obviously not give his best effort. And so Jimmy Haslam was like, well, I'm going to Miami. Despite, I think we all agree, the Celtics having the better offer. And what should scare you is that it sounds like Jaylen Brown is dictating which teams he'll go to, which means the Celtics might not end up getting the best return.
Which is common in every other sport, and we just saw Tkachuk pick four teams that he wants to go to. I mean, so it's not outrageous for a guy to say, I have a list of teams I want to play for, otherwise I'm going to be a problem. But
I don't like the fact that that's happening with the Celtics.
Yeah, yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? Especially with Jaylen, you would think he would just, no matter where it is in the country, you would be happy to have your own team. Doesn't matter if it's Milwaukee, Memphis, this is your chance. You're going to have a team. We're going to build around you. We're going to sign you to a two-year extension. Why is he being picky about Milwaukee all of a sudden?
That is strange. All right, Chad Tracy, in just a few, maybe about like 15 minutes, will be joining us, and we'll talk to him a little bit. I want to ask him about Aroldis Chapman, because obviously he has not been the same over the last couple of games, and last night was just so, so bad. I mean, it was so bad it was entertaining, I have to be honest. Like, if you're going to lose in the most spectacular fashion, and they did.
I mean, emotion out of you. You think like the Red Sox are beyond the point where you have feelings?
Not yet.
But
no.
I can picture Arcand in his chair watching that game last night. I'm sure you were pissed.
I
know it.
I was laughing.
I mean, it was kind of funny.
Jared Durant
by the end of it. Yeah, he was like Rocky chasing the chicken. it was pretty bad.
It was really just set for the next. So it's always fun to have the manager on after a game like that. But we will have him on in just a moment. We're not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be right back.